How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Good evening. Welcome back to the darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Hey, make sure you check out our website. You can join in on the live chat by going to darknessradio.com. Click on the live chat button. Join into our live chat room where we've got a bunch of other like-minded individuals interested in the paranormal, and you can share your ideas, thoughts, and just spend time talking to people that that are just like you. Remember, though, be polite when you're in the chat room. Spend some time in there and talk. We've got a lot of cool guests coming up over the next couple of months. We'd love for you to come in and share your thoughts with us. Also, send us ideas. If you have guest ideas that you'd like to see covered on our show, you can always email me, Dave at darknessradio.com. Shoot me a guest list there, or you can go on our website at darknessradio.com, and there's a link there to request a guest, and we will do our best to have those guests on in the future. As a matter of fact, the next guest that we have coming up right now was a recommendation from somebody, and then I was lucky enough to find out he has a book coming out as well. So please welcome, for the first time to the Darkness on the Edge of Town, our guest is Stan Romanek. His case is probably one of the most scientifically documented human extraterrestrial encounters cases in the world. There have been well over 100 individually unique experiences that Stan has encountered since December of 2000, some of which remain unexplainable. Being abducted is only one of the many experiences. There have been hundreds of witnesses for dozens of events that defy our current understanding of reality. Witnesses, photographs, videotapes, physical evidence, police reports, scientific analysis have all confirmed the validity of these experiences beyond reasonable doubt. Scientists from top universities have been analyzing various aspects of this case for several years, and they've been getting amazing results. The proof is expected to be presented in the public and scientific community here in the near future. With the sheer volume of all the bizarre information, including highly sophisticated scientific equations pertaining to space travel and more, it's creating quite a stir in the scientific community, unraveling what is likely the world's biggest unfolding mystery in the history of a man who's certain to revise our understanding of mankind and the complex universe that we live in. Stan is releasing this detailed scientific evidence in a nonfiction book called Messages, the World's Most Documented Extraterrestrial Contact Story. And that should be out in May of 2009. So welcome for the first time to the Darkness on the Edge of Town, Stan Romanek. Good evening, Stan.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I appreciate you spending some time with us. Stan, this is a case I've been following and information online and everything, and then I've had so many guests or listeners send me emails saying you should talk to this guy and have him on the show. Now, let's start at the beginning for you. Now, you said that starting in December of 2000 to now, you've had literally over 100 unique experiences with aliens and abductions. Is that correct?
Well, it's not so much. You know, I've probably had eight experiences abduction-wise, and I like to call them encounters. Some of them are pretty scary. Some of them are almost polite. That's the only way I can explain it. And there's various things. There's things from strange balls of light floating around everyone in the house to huge, massive UFOs above everybody to strange noises. You know, there's a myriad of different things that have happened over the past few years.
Why Stan Romanek? Why are they bothering you?
That is the million-dollar question. In fact, I people ask me that all the time, and I still, even to this day, don't know. I started out as a very, very cynical skeptic. I didn't believe in any of this stuff. I didn't believe in ghosts. I didn't believe in UFOs. I can't tell you why. I don't know, other than I was in the right place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time. I can't tell you.
When they abduct you, do they talk to you about this stuff? Or when you have these encounters, do they explain to you what
it's
they're doing and why?
Like, how do I explain this? It's not like, I think it's more indifference than anything. It's, you know, they aren't here to hurt us. They've been around, from what I understand from various people that, you know, really know what they're talking about, they've been around for thousands of years. If they wanted to hurt us, they're so much more technologically advanced than we are, they could have taken us out a long time ago.
Right.
it's more a matter of indifference, I think, sometimes with these things. And you have to understand, we are not them. We don't think like them. They're way above us in a lot of regards. And they don't really talk to you like normal people do. We talk one word after another. We talk linearly. They can think large volumes of information and communicate large volumes of information just in, you know, one thought process. So it's completely different than anything you can imagine. Really bizarre.
When you have these encounters, you said some are scary, some are just polite. I mean, are they different races that seem to be talking to you,
well,
or communicating?
Well, I think they're all, you know, as weird as that sounds, I mean, there has to be stuff out there. There's, you know, what they say, NASA just said there's 100 billion planetary systems in our galaxy alone, and they're now finding out there's probably 200 billion galaxies out in the universe. That's just what we can detect. There has to be multiple different types of things out there, I'm sure. And what I remember, there's at least three different types. Most of them seem to be working together. And unlike most of the information you'll hear on TV that the debunkers will put out and, you know, the government puts out that, oh, it's sleep paralysis. My abduction experience, my first one especially, happened when I was fully awake, and I remember everything. My body couldn't deal with it. My mind couldn't deal with it as a skeptic. It scared me so bad that I just said, oh, it has to be a dream. But it wasn't. I came back with all kinds of evidence that it wasn't, so...
With what you had, I mean, can you give us a little bit of information? How did that abduction scenario or that encounter scenario go?
Well, it started my first experience, and you know, you don't put two and two together until you have something like this happen. It probably started from childhood on. I later found out that my sister was an experiencer. My brother was also an experiencer, but we never talked about it. You know, it just happened after the fact. But my first encounter with a UFO. I had actually met my wife online, and she lived in Nebraska. I lived in Colorado, and this was before we got married. I wanted her to come to Colorado to visit me, and it was a clear, beautiful December day, December 27th of 2000, and I decided to go up to a very famous landmark called Red Rocks Amphitheater. It's an outdoor kind of natural amphitheater that, you know, everybody likes to come play concerts at. It's set right in the middle of the foothills, just right, you know, front range of Denver. And I said, you know, what can I do? I was thinking, what can I do to get her to come up? So I went and took my video camera, and it was beautiful, and thought, well, if I took some video of the surrounding area and the, you know, skyline, I'd send it to her with a care package, and she'd come see me. Well, I never actually made it up to where I wanted to go. There were a bunch of people pulled over to the side of the road, and they were looking out to the south above some power lines, and just right next to me was a huge UFO just hovering above the power lines. And then after that, it just went crazy. Next UFO I saw was some people came in and was hovering above my work. And that evening, that was, you know, almost a year later, that evening, there was a knock at the door, and there were three people standing outside my door. And I thought, you know, what are people doing at 2 o'clock in the morning knocking at my door? Maybe my friend ran out of gas and had to walk back. I didn't know. But by the time I got there, my sister had already opened the door, and there were these three smaller people I thought were wearing masks, and I thought they were going to rob us, and I'm yelling at my sister, don't let them in, don't let them in, they're going to rob us. And as I got closer, I realized that they weren't wearing masks at all. And then...
Were they the gray type that everybody's familiar with?
You know, I don't know if the grays... What I've seen that people think are gray are actually not gray. They're very pale with a bluish tint to their skin. Almost gray, but not quite. And these creatures, or whatever you want to call them, were... I guess they call them hybrids, like a cross between us and the grays, or what people call grays.
Okay.
But they had big, huge wraparound blue eyes. The iris itself was a very, very kind of almost a baby blue. I've never seen anything like it anywhere else. And there was a female and two males. And I thought that was strange. You know, that's why I thought they were in masks. Because if they were ETs, well, first of all, I didn't believe in ETs. And secondly, why would they be male and female? And they had cancer-like, cancer patient-like hair, very white, though, like very old and hardly no hair at all. And I call them the possum people because their face, their jaw was drawn out. And their mouth, almost like they had no chin, just a slit for a mouth. Nose and mouth were real close together. And I don't even remember if they had teeth or not. But they seemed to be able to do whatever they want because pretty soon the female grabbed my wrist. And I remember this thought popping into my head, it's okay. And that scared me more than anything because I know for a fact I didn't put that thought in my head. But whatever happened, we were in a second story apartment, she started leading me out to the balcony. And that's kind of the last thing I remember.
Now, have you done the atypical hypnotherapy regression to try to find out what happened to you from that point forward?
I have. When I came back, here's the thing. I remembered everything. And when I came back from the experience, I actually woke up the next morning in bed trying to convince myself it was a dream. But when I got up, I was wearing, shorts, and I didn't have a shirt on, and my sister was sleeping on the couch and spent the night there. And she goes, "What the hell happened to your back?" And I, thinking about this weird experience I had, I just kind of blew her off. She goes, "And what is on your wrist?" Well, I put my, I was trying to figure out what she was talking about. I go, what? And I felt my back, and I could feel there was no pain. I could feel with the touch of my hand, there were open wounds on my back, and they were kind of, like fresh wounds. It's like, what the heck? And I poke at them. I looked in the mirror, and I had these, like somebody took skin samples off my back. And when I looked at my wrist, all the hair was rubbed off my wrist, and I had these open sores on my wrist. I couldn't feel them. There was no pain. I could just, touch them with my fingers, and you could see plain as day what they were. Well, my friend Mark kind of knew a little bit about UFO stuff.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and have you finish up with this part of the story and what your friend got involved with. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio right here, Darkness Radio. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Our guest this evening is Stan Romanek. Stan has a new book that will be coming out in, I believe, May of 2009 called Messages, the World's Most Documented Extraterrestrial Contact Story. And we'll have Stan on closer to the time the book is actually going to be released as well to do a follow-up and find out what else has happened to him between now and then. But Stan, you were just starting to tell us something about one of your friends. Go ahead and I'll let you finish up with the story.
Well, my friend Mark was kind of into the UFO thing, and I used to make fun of him, but he knew, that something had happened. I knew something had happened, and he had some connections, so he hooked me up with MUFON, which stands for Mutual UFO Network. It's a organization that kind of studies this stuff. Anyhow, MUFON came down, and they were really impressed with all the stuff that had happened, and they did whatever test that they did, and they said, "Well, if you've been abducted and, you have some trace evidence on your body and you have scoop marks," which is pretty typical of abduction experiences, what will happen a lot of times is they'll fluoresce under black light, and they turn on the black light, and I lit up like a Christmas tree. And the fluorescing actually lasted for about 9 weeks. I've tried bleach. I tried Brillo pads. I tried everything I could think of. Well, what's really even more amazing is the wounds healed to nothing but scars in less than 48 hours. So whatever they were, whatever they did, they were able to accelerate the healing process. And then it just kind of went from there. They hooked me up they got me hooked up with a woman named Deborah Lindemann, who was a fairly decent hypnotherapist in Colorado. And, they said, "Well, if you want to kind of try to remember what's going on and I help you deal with it, you should go through hypnotherapy. Well, I knew nothing about this. I didn't know what to expect. I was a little nervous. But it was pretty amazing what happened, because I started you know, I was able to deal with it a little bit more by that point. I started remembering small details, but even more amazing was the fact that during the regression, I remember during my abduction, I'd get these flashes in my head of symbols. I didn't understand what they meant, but they just kind of stuck there. Well, during the hypnotic regression, she had me write these symbols down, and it ended up being complex physics equations and, you know, elemental structures for, you know, things like element 115, which at the time they didn't have. 2 years later, they came out with it. And all this really bizarre stuff. Now, people need to understand that I'm very dyslexic. I grew up with a learning disability. I probably have, if I'm lucky, maybe a fourth or fifth grade math level. So when these symbols came out, I thought it was just gibberish. But when she sent it off, she sent it to the head of the University of Nebraska. And he looked at him. He was just totally amazed. And that kind of progressed throughout my experiences. I've written some of this stuff in my sleep. I've written this stuff under other hypnotic regressions with my eyes closed, looking out to the side. And some of the equations that these people are getting are, some of them are known and some of them's brand new. And they're just having a cow with it and they don't know what to think about it. And I keep thinking, well, did I see it on TV? Could I have somehow my subconscious memorized it? Well, that's a good question. I don't know, and I don't know how I'm able to do it, but right. It's there.
Now, why isn't this being more documented in the public venue? I mean, if you're able to do this, it's almost like the Betty and Barney Hill story, right, where they were able to show star maps that nobody knew about at the time?
It is being documented. Everything, you know, I've got some of the top scientists in the world working on this, and, you know, I've got some major universities working on this. But here's the problem. There is a concerted effort to try to subdue this information. I've been beat up. I had my nose broke, my wrist broke. They told me to shut up about this stuff. Just recently, I had to go in hiding for a little bit because I was shot at. You know, whoever is, I mean, there really is an effort to keep this stuff quiet. I don't understand why, but it really is that way. And we are trying the best we can to get it out there, but in order to do it right, it takes money. And everything that has happened so far, all the scientists have donated their time. You know, it costs money to do electron microscopes. And I have there's a lot of trace evidence in this case from what they told me. So, you know, how do you get it out? How do you get it out right? You know, you have to be careful because there's a lot of people out there that'll try to debunk this, no matter, you know, if they know anything about it or not, because they're scared, mostly because they're scared.
Well,
and I'm not here to try.
Why are you still bringing this up so much if you've been threatened? I would think that would be enough to make you just, you know, kind of bury yourself underground.
There's no way I can. I'm one of the lucky ones. I know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I know what direction I'm supposed to go. People don't, you know, a lot of people say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? This is what I'm supposed to do. I know it with my heart and soul. I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And it's not like I'm trying to convince anybody of anything, but if I can go from being an extreme skeptic to being a believer and knowing that this, I know for a fact this stuff is real. I've talked to, you know, aides to the president. I've talked to heads of state. I've talked to ex-military, specialists and, you know, whoever. And they're all telling me this stuff is real. I've experienced it for myself. You know,
do you have names of any of the people that you've been able to talk to? Are there any well-known names that people can, you know, relate to? I mean, and you understand from the skeptic side as well, you know, we always hear, oh, I've dealt with NASA officials and government officials, but we can never get a name or a way to back any of that stuff up to know
I've talked to generals. I mean, it's all going to be in that. It should be in the book. It should be, you know, they're going to do a documentary.
Okay.
Can I tell you off the top of my head? No, I can tell you that they're...
Okay, but they are in the book. Okay.
Yeah, it should all be there. And there's a lot of people coming out. I mean, the Vatican just came out and said it's real. I mean, come on, people. And most, what's really interesting, there was a study done, and I can't tell you exactly who did it. I'd have to look it up. But the study said that most of the people that believed or were able to handle the fact that ETs and UFOs are real were people that were educated. It was the backwood types, the redneck types that couldn't handle it. Those are the ones that, you know, will start problems and, you know, get, and it's all about fear. And that's the reason I didn't believe, is because it's because of fear.
That's kind of funny, because most of the people, most of the people we've always heard the stories about are the rednecks, the kind of, you know, I was out drinking in my brother's pickup truck when we saw these UFOs flying overhead and blah, blah, blah. You know, they seem very well adjusted to it. It's the science community, to me, that seems the other way around. They're the ones that just won't even acknowledge that this could be a possibility.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Science, the scientists are very rigid, too. So you're right. You know, it's on both ends of the spectrum. It's the you know, the scientists. You know, scientists are rigid anyhow. But, you know, things are changing. They really are. And, you know, there's a lot of scientists that are coming around, and it's amazing to see the transition just even from a few years ago. Everything on TV is UFOs, aliens, even the the Indiana Jones thing, and I hope they don't ruin it for a lot of people who haven't seen it, is about ETs and aliens.
I don't think it gives too much
all
away.
The cartoons you see.
Yeah, the crystal skull is in the shape of an alien head. I think people figured that out pretty quick.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's not by accident. That really is not by accident, and I, you know, everybody knows something's going to happen. Everybody's got that feeling, that the proverbial, you know, what's going to hit the fan.
Well, we've got about a minute here before we take our next break. With that said, Stan, are they telling you, are they going to make themselves known to the world in a major way in the next 10 years here?
I think they're telling everybody that. I think that's what this is all about. They don't really tell me much specifically because, you know, I freak out usually when anything happens. It's not like they talk to me one-on-one. But, yeah, I think that's what they're hinting at. I really do.
All right. Well, our guest tonight for this hour is Stan Romanek, and he is authoring a book that will be out in May 2009. It's called Messages, the World's Most Documented Extraterrestrial Contact Story. We will have Stan on closer to the time in May when it's about to be released, so we can follow up with him on any new things that are going on. But if you're interested, go to our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the upcoming shows tab. There's also a CNN video we have there, so you can check that out. We'll be back with more Stan right after this on your home for Paranormal Talk Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis. Tim, so you've been listening. We've been talking UFOs tonight, multidimensional characters, everything like that. You got any thoughts on this? Any questions for Stan that are popping up to you right now? Well, you mentioned something during the break you're curious about, and Stan has mentioned on the deal. You've got a pretty big volume of people that have actually witnessed your case, Stan. It's unlike most stories where, you know, I was out driving around and I saw this thing in the sky and it lit up and took me up and I was probed and brought back and nobody else can verify it. How many people have actually witnessed your encounters?
Oh, geez. I'd say probably maybe even over 1,000 by now. There was one incident where a UFO came down and beamed my van in the middle of Lakewood, Colorado, which is a fairly large suburb of Denver, during rush hour. And you can go online and look at the witness reports yourself. And then it flew over a park called Old Stonehouse Park, and there were people there with video cameras and cameras. And I even got pictures people took of this beam coming out of this UFO that hit my van. So, and that's the interesting thing about my experiences. I usually don't have to explain anything to anybody because they don't do anything, whoever they are, unless there's people around. And it happens over and over and over again. You know, there's this ongoing joke that if you don't believe, hang out with Stan, and you will make a believer out of you, and that's usually really the case.
Well, you know, boy, I'll mention this to you. We just mentioned it to Phil Imbrogno, our guest in the first segment here, that we're doing an event out at Trout Lake, Washington in August of 2009, where it's a very well-known UFO site, and we're going to go out there and do a three-night sky watch and investigate and have talks done. Would you be interested in being a part of that with us? And if it truly happens with large groups of people, we're expecting about 200 to 250 people at this event. So maybe
that sounds fun to me. I know exactly who you're talking about too. He's a really sweet guy. So,
oh, yeah, James Gilliland. Yeah, he's a wonderful man. So all right, well, let's talk then. We'd love to have you out there and have you come do a talk and share your book and your message, and maybe with a little luck, you'll bring in the UFOs and everybody can have an experience for their lifetime and see what you're sharing.
Sure, why not? We'll see what I'm not going to guarantee that I'm going to
be
a little freaked out if they come, because I always am. But
run away! Come here, Stan.
Yeah, I don't usually do that. Other people do. I just, it's still, when you have something that's so much more advanced than you are, it's a little disheartening. And people are afraid of things they don't understand. It's
right.
Like, well, you don't really know what their motives are. So far they haven't hurt me, and there's one situation where they actually fixed an interior cruciate torn ligament on my leg, and that is an amazing story. But still, they're different, and it freaks out anybody.
Well, can you share a little bit of that story with us right now?
Well, it'll be in the documentary. Actually, ABC's 2020 is going to do a special on me here soon. They're coming up within 2 weeks to start shooting for this thing. But I was... this was about almost 2 years ago now. We were renting a house, and part of the deal is, we're going to fix up the house and get a discount on our rent. And I was actually painting the eave of the house. I must have been about 10 foot off the ground, and I misstepped on the ladder, and I fell, and there was a wheelbarrow full of bricks, and I kind of twisted my leg wrong, and I could hear a snap, and I tore the anterior cruciate and hamstring in my knee. And let me tell you, it's excruciatingly painful.
I'm going
to
be limping for a week, thanks.
I was due to go into surgery the next Wednesday. I had gone fishing that Sunday with one of the main researchers involved in my case, and I was in this cast or brace from... basically from my ankle all the way up to my, to the top of my thigh, and I couldn't move anywhere. And by the time we were done fishing, my knee had swelled up to the size of almost a grapefruit, I'd say.
Oof.
Well, Tuesday, my wife woke up in the middle of the night, supposedly, and I was missing. As in a lot of cases with my abduction, the power goes out. And my wife's gotten so good at, noticing stuff while she's asleep that she wakes up automatically. I've come back in other people's clothing. I've come back with my clothes back on backwards. I've come back with no clothes on at all. I've been left on the roof, left outside with the doors locked from the inside. This one was a little different, though. My wife was trying to get the breakers to turn back on, and they couldn't find me. And somehow I just mysteriously ended up in the middle of the living room. And she came in, and everybody was kind of dazed and confused, and, we knew something had happened but didn't know what. We went back to sleep, and my wife woke up the next morning because she had to go to work early, and she found this huge, for lack of a better word, crop circle, more like a grass circle because it was in the grass. And it wasn't real huge. I'd say it was about 11 foot across, but it was, a perfect circle. And the grass was rotated counterclockwise. Also, those little party poppers that you use for New Year's, those
right.
things you pull and all these streamers come out?
Right.
Well, there was one of those halfway in the circle and halfway out of the circle. The part that was halfway in the circle was actually melted to the grass. The part that was halfway out of the circle was unaffected.
Hmm.
Well, that was strange in and of itself, but when my wife came to wake me up, I got up and I started walking over to the window to look outside. My wife goes, "You notice anything different?" It's like, "What are you talking about?" Well, first of all, my brace was missing. Couldn't find my brace anywhere. Then I realized that my leg didn't hurt. And all the swelling in my knee was completely gone except for a little bruising. Well, my wife turned me around, and in the back of my leg were 5 puncture marks in the back of my leg going vertical. And they were really, really deep, but there was no pain, no nothing. I could walk on my leg. My leg was a little tight, but there was no pain. Well, later that evening, we actually found my brace that I was wearing, and we found it on the side of the house, literally burned and melted. Even the aluminum rods were melted and kind of just looked like it was thrown onto the pile of bricks. And we found pieces of it in the field behind our house, and pieces of it on top of the, we had a little wooden swing set in our yard, as if it was thrown out from a kind of a high area.
So they can abduct you, they can push you through windows, doors, whatever, get you out into their UFOs, they can heal your leg, but sometimes they miss putting you back, they put you on the roof.
That's the weird thing, yeah. And you know, a lot of people are confused about that. It's almost you hear stories like this over and over and over again, and there's some video that is pretty famous. There's really not any video out there, but there was some video shown that was pretty famous where I thought we had a peeping Tom, and it ended up being something else looking in our window. And people always say, well, you know, they come thousands of light years to look in your window. Well, there's lots of people that have had stories like that. There's lots of stories like that. It's almost like these are very, very smart children almost. They're very, they're very inquisitive. We have our, let's say, you know, 1 week we had all our remotes for our TVs disappear. For a whole week, they disappeared. Everybody's yelling at each other, what'd you do with the remotes? Well, one morning, we found them all lined up nice and neat on our kitchen countertop.
See, Tim, now I know what's happening when my remote control and my keys and my cell phone always go missing. It's the flipping aliens.
That's it. That's what I... And socks? Where the heck the socks go? I'm not saying that.
That's where the socks in the dryer go?
Yes. It makes sense. They interdimensionally pop in, take one sock.
You know, I couldn't tell you.
They need those socks for extraterrestrial travel, Tim. It's a little-known fact.
They're fuel.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe that's what they power their UFOs with.
100% cotton wool blend socks. Those are the ones that they like the most. Do you ever feel when you're doing this stuff, you know, oh, my God, I'm going nuts. This is insane. Do you start to question your own sanity dealing with this?
You know, I actually, you know, tried taking medication for this. You know, it would be easier to explain that I'm having psychotic episodes. The only problem is, what do I do about all the other people that see this stuff around me? You know, it's scary after a while. You know, when you're not used to this kind of stuff, when you're a skeptic, and you start realizing that this stuff is real, I think it's more scary than if you were to go insane, if you knew you were insane. Because if you were insane, you could get help. This stuff, you really have nowhere to go. You know, it's like, you know, I wake up outside buck naked, I'm peeing blood, and I got a bloody nose, and I'm terrified. And it's like, you can't go to the local police department. You just can't, because they laugh at you, and everybody blows you off. And that's... You know, why would anybody in there, you know, you'd have to be crazy to do this stuff unless it's real, to make this stuff up, because I'm not getting anything out of this except ridicule. But I know that it's real, and the reason I am doing this is maybe it'll get the public to open up a little bit to the possibilities and realize that there is something out there besides ourselves, and those people that are really having experiences, you know, maybe somebody will find a way to help them deal with it more.
Well, let's take our final break for the evening here. Our guest is Stan Romanek. His book is Messages, the world's most documented extraterrestrial contact story. It'll be out May 2009. We'll be back with more right here on Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. Our guest this evening is Stan Romanek, and Stan has had extensive interaction, I guess is the right term, with alien races and UFOs. And let me ask you, now on our site at darknessradio.com, if you click the upcoming show section, we actually have information about Stan and his book, but we also have a video up from CNN, the Larry King Show. Why don't you address that with us, Stan? Talk to us a little bit about it. I know that there's a lot of speculation about that video you were mentioning with the peeping Tom alien. What can you share with us about that?
Well, that started... kind of, you know, go forward a little bit. The reason that's so popular now is it was used for something called the Denver Extraterrestrial Initiative. One of the government officials came to see a talk I did. I have a four-hour talk. It has to be 4 hours because there's so much evidence that I, you know, have to show people. And he was so impressed that he said, you know, something has to be done. Something has to be done to get the government off their butt and stop lying about this stuff, stop covering up, you know, and really start get stuff out there. So he's trying to get this from the grassroots up campaign going to start an initiative in Denver, you know, that will, you know, address the UFO extraterrestrial / contact stuff. And, you know, they had a big, huge media event, and they showed a clip of this, and that's how this got started. Now, how I got the clip, this was years ago. I married the woman that I met online. I moved to Nebraska because she was from Nebraska. I was living in Denver. She has twin teenage daughters and a son. Well, we were in Kearney, Nebraska, and suddenly it was late at night. I'd get up from watching TV, go in the kitchen, and I'd see movement out of one of the windows. It's like, what the heck? You know, maybe it's, you know, one of the kids' friends or something. Only trouble is the window, the bottom of the window was about 7 feet off the ground. And I started thinking, well, maybe we have a peeping Tom. I've got young teenage twin stepdaughters. Maybe we have some pervert trying to look in our window.
Right.
And it happened again, and it happened for almost a week and a half. I'd get up or, you know, I'd go to get some water from the kitchen, and I'd see movement outside. It got to the point where I called the police. Police didn't do anything about it. They didn't even want to take information down. I let the neighbors know. We set little traps for this guy. I even had a bat by the front door. Well, one of the researchers, one of the scientists involved in my case, said, you know, you have a camcorder, you have a Sony camcorder, it has a night shot on it. Why don't you pretend you're going to bed, turn off all the lights, set up your camcorder towards the window you saw this movement at and see what happens? Well, that's exactly what I did. I saw some movement. I quickly got my camera, set it up, and I'm sitting there talking out loud, oh, I'm going to bed, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. I actually went to the bathroom. And I waited in there because I wanted to see if I could catch this thing. Well, I'm in there reading a magazine, and I see two bright flashes of light. The last flash of light, I kind of open the door and look out, and I see this head popping down. I run to the camcorder to look on the camcorder. Well, first thing I do is I actually look outside, and I see this small figure running away to the backyard. Well, I thought it was a full moon that night because the moon was, I thought it was the moon. It was real bright, and I could see this thing running. And it looked like a small, naked, kind of pale child with a big head. And it looked back at me, and it scared the crud out of me. Man, I can tell you, its eyes were not normal. You can actually see me react on the video because the camera was still running. When I reviewed the film on the camcorder, it was definitely not what I expected, and it turned out to be either somebody with an elaborate mask, which I doubt because I saw this thing run away, or an actual ET. And it's gonna be in the documentary. There's pictures of it in the book. And that's not the last time I've captured stuff. We've had big parties where people have taken pictures, and there's things in the pictures. There's videos where I thought my kids were running naked through the house. When they had friends over, I thought they were doing, you know, my stepson was, what, he was probably about 9 years old. I thought they were doing some kind of dare or something. And I grabbed my camcorder to see if I could, you know, catch him in the act so I could blackmail him later.
Right.
And I ended up catching something looking through the sliding glass door.
And that video footage will be available in the documentary?
And if it is somebody that is playing some kind of elaborate hoax on me, man, it must cost them millions of dollars to come up with these amazing costumes. And what's the reason? Why would they do it?
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. That's strange. Now, going forward, I mean, we've got about 3-4 minutes left here. What do you hope people get from your story? I know you said earlier that you're kind of hoping that people will be open more, but do you hope that you get more feeling of community for people that have had these kind of experiences, that they're not nuts, they're not alone?
That's just one part of it. I'm here to enlighten people. I know that we're at a crossroads now as a race. We can either survive or not survive. And we have neighbors out there. And it's time to meet the neighbors. And it's my goal to try to enlighten people. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid. You know, there's good and bad out there, just like there's good and bad here. If we know about it, we know how to deal with the bad as well as deal with the good. I mean, we're all part of it. We're all part of the oneness. There's like, how do I explain it? We're all part of the big picture. All of us are connected. Even those guys out there, we're all part of the big picture. And it's time we grow up. That's what it's about.
The book comes out in May 2009. How often are you still having experiences yourself?
Oh, constantly. I mean, it's the point where we've become kind of blasé about it. You know, it's funny, we had some paranormal investigators over, and there was a massive, huge UFO fleet that flew right over our house, and we know it was for them. And it scared the crap out of them. And they ran inside to get my wife, and my wife goes, yeah, so what? Go out and look at them. I don't care anymore.
So it's going on a continual basis. Well, we'll definitely we'll look forward to having you come out to the event with us. And for those of you that are just tuning in, if you're interested, we're doing a live event at the Assetti Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington, at the base of Mount Adams. We're going to be doing that August 2009. You can get more information by going to darknessevents.com. We've got some great guest lineup for that, and we're going to be doing 3 nights of star watching, so you can actually watch and see the kind of things that we've been experiencing on the 3 prior trips that I've had to this ranch. Hopefully we're going to be joined by Phil Imbrogno, our first guest, Stan Romanek. We've got Bill Burns from UFO Hunters and UFO Magazine. Bill Chappell, the engineer and communicator, he's creating some really amazing technology to try to communicate with these extraterrestrial crafts for the live event that we're going to do there. We've got Dean Haglund from The X-Files. Not only is he an actor-comedian, but he is also big into the conspiracy theories of UFOs, and he's witnessed quite a bit, including seeing some of the actual implants. He's going to be there to tell us his stories and do a comedy show for us one night as well. So it's going to be an exciting time. Tickets are on sale right now at darknessevents.com. We also have some other great upcoming events you might want to check out, including, and we're going to have these guys on our show next week, Tim. We've got our buddies from the Ghost Adventures TV show on the Travel Channel.
Yes, we do.
They're going to be coming on our show next week, and we're going to be talking to them about the trip that we're going to do out to Bobby Mackey's, which was, I think, their first episode where they went out to this location and did an investigation there. It was either first or second episode, but it's a crazy environment. We've got a link up on our site and information there, so you can check that out. We also have Phenomenology coming up in Gettysburg that we're going to be at attending. Dana Wingard is having that event. So there's a lot of cool stuff coming up. Check out our website, darknessevents.com. And more importantly, remember that we do have Waverly Hills in May of 2009 and the UFO Ranch event that's going to take place in August of 2009. And Stan, we'll look forward to seeing you there. It'll be fun. Hopefully we'll get out to Colorado sooner so we could get together and talk as well.
Sure. I'd love to show you around and maybe get you to see some stuff.
Now, you do have a website, right? StanRomanek.com.
StanRomanek.com. The researchers and scientists put it up for me because there's so many people asking questions. We have to do something. So there's a lot of, you can see some of the stuff that's happened. I try to share, there's a bunch of stuff I can't share right now until, you know, the scientists go through it all, but there's a bunch of stuff that you can see for yourself. Everything from weird paranormal stuff that seems to happen to whatever. And there's some really good links there too.
Great. And again, that's StanRomanek.com. StanRomanek.com for all that information. Thanks again, Stan. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember to be back with us next week. We'll have a brand new show for you right here at your home for the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. We'll be right back.
is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.